Thank you so much, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And I know, Steve, you like to read books. Bill, your favorite book, author anyway, F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
My favorite author would be Kevin Guilfoyle.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, and he happens to be in the studio with Scott Smith. Kevin, I got to tell you, I'm not a big book reader. I'd rather play a video game or watch TV or something. And I saw a little write-up about your book, Cast of Shadows, many years ago in the Tribune magazine, and it seemed so intriguing I had to read it. It is one of my favorite books ever.
Well, thank you. Thanks, Wendy.
You're absolutely welcome. Well, now you get together with Scott Smith. You write a short story. All of a sudden, the next thing I'm reading in our local paper that this is becoming a movie.
Yeah, it was a short story that was published, about 10 years ago. And Scott could probably better tell you how he discovered it. But he called me up one day and said, we found the story. We think it'd make a good movie. And, I had some experience with people trying to make movies from my novels. And I was like, yeah, right. You're going to, I know how hard that is to do. I said, sure, absolutely, if you want to do that. And then Scott asked if I would help him write the screenplay. And so we did that together. And
it will be at the Chicago Film Festival.
It's premiering at the Chicago Film Festival on Saturday, October 14th.
Awesome.
Congrats. Scott, what did you see in the story that made you realize it would make for a good film?
It really painted an amazing picture. These quirky characters, quirky story. And at first, my producer, John Fromstein, found it in the book, and he thought it would be a great short film, because we were doing some short films and such. And so he sent it over to me, and I'm like, oh, my God, we should make this into a feature. So like Kevin said, I called him, asked him if he ever thought about it, and he rolled his eyes, could tell over the phone. We talked about it, and I sent him some ideas, and we just started batting the script back and forth, and it evolved to what it is.
Chasing the Blues is the name of it. It will be part of the Chicago International Film Festival, and it is star-studded. Tell us who's in it.
It has John Lovitz, Steve Guttenberg. It also stars Grant Rosenmeier, who was one of Ben Stiller's sons in the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh, really? Remember, I love that movie.
Yeah.
He's great. He's terrific in it. And
still with the bushy hair, or is the bushy hair all gone?
The bushy hair is gone.
Yeah.
But it's a different sort of bushy
hair.
Yeah,
I guess that's true. You wouldn't necessarily recognize him. Anna Maria Hosford, who I know many, many people would recognize if they saw her, if they don't recognize her name. She's been in...
Chelsea Tavares is in it.
Chelsea Tavares. Ron Connor, who's a Chicago guy.
Go back to Lovitz for a little bit.
Bill,
I'm hoping, because he and I have been trying to play tennis. Me, always ready. John, never ready to play tennis. All right, so you got him and you got Guttenberg. How did that come about? Because that's a pretty good casting right there.
We, when we were casting, we were going out to several agents, and one of them happened to be Gutenberg's agent. And as we found out later, it was both Guttenberg and Lovitz's agent.
Oh, perfect.
So it started with Guttenberg. He wanted to actually play the lead, and we didn't think he was right for it. He actually flew into town, met with John and I to try and, kind of sell us on his idea.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. I mean, we got some great stories. He's, super smart guy, super nice, and just had to say, it's not right. But if you do want something, we'd love to we'd love to have you play something. So then all of a sudden, we get a message that, hey, John Lovitz read the script and he is really interested in the part of Groom. And I was like, what?
That wouldn't be bad.
Yeah, so I started imagining it, and we had a phone call, and it was great. He was the one in the film. He puts on a southern accent because the guy's from Louisiana. And he's like, thinking of doing a southern accent. What do you think? I'm like, just work on it, and we'll talk when you get in town.
He pulls it off, though?
Yeah.
He's great.
He's really
the villain. He's sort of the villain in the film. And it's not, when I first heard, the movie is it's a dark comedy.
Yeah.
But that part is written pretty straight.
Yeah. Right.
And I never would have imagined him in this part, which is why I'm glad I wasn't involved in that end of the production, because He puts this spin on this character that is so interesting and so surprising and not at all like I imagined it, and it's just terrific.
But if you watch him, I mean, I know he's known as, you know, mostly for Saturday Night Live work, but if you see him in, like, A League of Their Own,
yeah,
he really does have a lot of depth, doesn't
he? He had a lot of really amazing stories as well about people he's worked with and what he's learned, and he teaches acting, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, in L.A. when he's there. And he plays tennis, I hear.
Yeah, that's what I hear, well, but I can't find any evidence.
He made you do, like, show me how you
would
serve.
Let me see your backhand. How does that go?
And you just to humor him, he gave me Jerry his dog. Right. And is Jerry in the movie?
Jerry the dog is not in the movie. He was everywhere in everybody's hands. Let me help Jerry. You know, it's like
Jerry Bruckheimer. The dog's name is Jerry Bruckheimer.
So he wanted you, let me see how you'd hit a ball. Let me see your serve. And you're like, this is ridiculous. I'm just going through the motions.
Yeah.
You did the motions, and he criticized you.
I would cream you. It wouldn't even be close. It'd be embarrassing for all tennis.
Well, he'll be in for the premiere of this. This is next weekend.
A week from Saturday, the 14th.
All right, so, you know,
maybe
you should go stalk him. Just show up in your tennis whites with your racket.
See
and,
what he does.
Yeah.
All right, maybe.
All right, it's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are talking with Kevin Guilfoyle, who's an author, film director Scott Smith. They have put together this Chasing the Blues. Kevin Guilfoyle, you wrote this short story, and I've just seen the synopsis. I have an 18-year-old son who didn't think he liked the blues. He went to a blues camp, and all of a sudden, he immersed himself in the blues. He plays slide guitar, Howlin', he loves all this stuff, and he collects vinyl. He will love this movie, I have a feeling.
The movie is for him. It's about a pair of record collectors in Chicago who are both obsessed with this mythically rare blues record from the 30s called "Oh Death, Where Is Thy Sting," and it's so rare that in fact that most people don't even believe it actually exists, and it is rumored to have the screams of a woman being murdered on it. And so they both at one point believe that there's a copy of it in this old woman's apartment in Hyde Park. And so the part of the movie is about their attempts to con both her and each other out of this record in the 80s. And then, and that's what the short story was originally about. The movie expands also into the present 20 years later, when they get out of prison for what transpired in that apartment, and they're still obsessed with this record.
Interesting that Steve Guttenberg's in this movie, since he has a parallel. There's always rumors about his movie Three Men and a Baby.
Oh yeah,
that there's somebody murdered in one of the scenes.
That's right, and there was like a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson, behind a curtain or something in the background of one of the
strange
scenes.
Parallel,
exactly why we can.
Exactly.
And John Lovitz used to listen to Love Roller Coaster,
Love Roller Coaster. Yes,
where
right.
there was another the Ohio Players a scream in the background.
That's right.
Yeah, it all ties in. Doesn't it? What a story! So when you find out that this short story needs to be expanded to full length for future film, what's the first thing you do?
Well, Scott and I started batting ideas around, and I think that the very first decision, you know, the story is a pretty sort of a thriller. It's like a mystery thriller, and I think Scott really wanted to put a comic spin on it, which I thought was a great idea. And so
still keeping the mystery angle to it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but play up the quirkiness of it rather than, you know, And so then I think probably for practical reasons, we're like, let's try to set this in the present. So because it's much more cheaper. It's much cheaper to
make it a period piece.
Right. But we still, there's parts of it takes place in the 30s. There's parts of it take place in the 80s. And then there's elements that take place
originally, as Kevin wrote it, it was first person. So it was this guy telling a story while he was in prison. And so what we kind of did, we dimensionalized it. So we actually took the story and showed what happened in the 80s.
Yeah. You know,
and then, like Kevin said, 20 years later, and then sort of reenacted, 1930s studio, with Jimmy Cain Baldwin.
That's excellent.
It was fun.
I can't wait to see this, next Saturday, or no, a week from this Saturday.
The 14th.
Yeah, the 14th.
Okay. ChicagoFilmFestival.com to find out all the showings and what else is playing. What if we can't make it that night? How can we see Chasing the Blues?
It's actually three screenings. It's the 14th, and it's the following Wednesday.
The 18th.
The 18th, and then the following Saturday as well.
Kevin, you mentioned that in the past they have tried to take other things that you've written and make them into films, and it hasn't been successful. What went wrong?
I don't know that it's something necessarily went wrong. It's just very difficult. It's been hard to do. Cast of Shadows, they've been working on for years and years, and right now it is actually in development with the former showrunners from Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
Who are trying to develop it into a TV series.
Oh, my God, that would be so good.
So we'll see what happens. But
you need a Hemsworth brother in it.
That's
the way you sell anything right now. Throw a Hemsworth in there.
And real quickly, Kevin, your son was in the news, too, naming his baseball team. Give us a little something on that.
Yeah, so my son is on a 10-year-old travel baseball team, and the coaches let him let them name the team, and they decided to name it the Illuminati, as 10-year-olds will. And
when you asked him why, his answer was what?
I don't think they could. They just somebody suggested, and they all started laughing, and they said, yeah, you know, they know that from like YouTube videos,
yeah.
And they're all the show Gravity Falls really goes into that,
That
TV show, and so. When he got his uniform, I thought it was so hilarious. It's just, like, if you were in the Illuminati, that you would have a softball team with the name, right? That's just so funny.
Right.
So I took a picture of him. I put it on Twitter, and it went crazy. And
it went viral, as the kids say.
Yeah. And so we ran out of merch, and so we shut it down. But we were selling caps and sweatshirts and t-shirts and jerseys. For a couple of months, and raised about $6,000 for the team.
Wow. Yeah. Well, it's I want one. I mean, I want a hat or jersey that says Illuminati. I think that's so cool.
I might have a stray one. I might be able
all right,
to find
please.
One.
I would love that.
Well, congratulations to both of you, author Kevin Guilfoyle, director Scott Smith.
Thank you.
Chasing the Blues is what it's called. There's a Facebook page for it and a website still and everything.
Yeah, it's a website, chasingtheblues.com. It's on the Chicago Film Festival site.
You can see the trailer there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so exciting. And please tell Lovitz, I already started to tell you this, I'll donate, whoever loses the match has to give a certain amount to charity. There have been so many big things happen in the last couple of weeks. So I would say to John, if you lose or I lose, I'll donate $500 or $1,000 to the charity of your choice. If that gets him in, I would love to finally play him.
We'll tell him.
What if he just does like a shadow tennis game, like in the studio here?
Maybe.
Right. I wonder if he's good. I'll dog sit Jerry for the day.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can make it happen.
Table tennis. That might be even.
I mean, even better. All right. Let's do that. All right, guys. Good luck.
Congratulations.
We're so happy for both of you. It's really great news.
Thanks for having us.